immersed 24/7 in technology that forces us to be terse and childish emoticons that stand in for actual feelings. We no longer have the time or the energy to expend on simple pleasantries like, "Hey, how are you doing?" or "Can I hold the door for you?" In response, the magazine offers Philadelphians its own rules of etiquette. Instructions on how to be nice in restaurants, while driving, in a bar, on public transit, in political discourse, in public spaces, when working out, when online, when biking, when at the office, and when parenting. At a glance, in 21 verses, it would appear that Paul does the same. No doubt the apostles' discernment of God's will must have shaken the congregation and caused them to wonder which God Paul was consulting. Was this the God who hated the same people they hated? Or was there a God who loved them even when they were enemies of such a God? If the former, nothing need change about their behavior toward Jewish Christians in their midst. If the latter, then how were they to go about the work of discerning the will of that God in relation to their treatment of one another? As regards the former God, I'm thinking particularly about a statement purporting to discern God's will released by the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood on Tuesday. Known as the Nashville Statement, its preamble contends that our post-Christian Western culture has embarked on a massive revision of what it means to be a human being. By this, they mean that the culture is denying God's good purposes in our personal and physical design as male and female by its acceptance of LGBTQ individuals. It then goes on to ask, will the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ lose her biblical conviction, clarity, and courage, and blend into the spirit of our age? Or will she maintain her clear countercultural witness to a world that seems bent on ruin? Faithfulness to these Christians means declaring once again the true story of the world and of our place in it, particularly as male and female. 14 articles follow, written in the style of the Barman Confession, or Declaration. For the signers of the Nashville Statement, 134 men and 14 women, just saying. The statement offers a simple answer to a simple question. For LGBTQ Christians who were raised in a community of faith that identified God with the part of our culture marked by a confident and sometimes mean-spirited rejection of them, back to Philadelphia Magazine. Discerning God's will and doing it are nothing if not complex. As Ilya Cruz, executive director of Faith in America, reminded readers in his op-ed on Friday, the statement sent a particularly dangerous message to the approximately half of LGBT people, who, according to the Pew Research Center, identify as Christians. You don't belong to our religion, and anyone who so much as accepts you isn't Christian either. Cruz goes on to cite the high rates of suicide, anxiety, and depression among LGBTQ youth who have been rejected on the basis of their family's faith and reading of Scripture. And for the Apostle Paul, discerning God's will in Scripture as he addressed anti-Judaism in Rome and the church was no simple matter. Lehman also goes on to remind us that one cannot think as a Christian without presupposing a certain way of understanding the biblical narrative. The relation between the Christian faith and the text of the Bible is too complex to allow a simple derivation of the faith from the text or the text from the faith. The reality and activity tension of God's activity in the world and the historical life and destiny of the community of faith, all of that is involved in a simple act of picking up the Bible, opening it, and reading it. Let me say that again. The reality and activity of God, the shaping of a community of faith in response to God's activity, the apprehension of God's activity and historical life and destiny of the community of faith, all of those things are what those who are trying to discern the will of God bring to the reading of Scripture. Paul could have discerned God's will as many before and after Paul did, believing the Jews to be rejected of God and headed for eternal damnation. It is the reading of Scripture which has underwritten anti-Semitism even to this day. Instead, Paul wrestled with the complexity of God's relationship to God's children. Children who invariably reject the God who loves the people God's children hate. Paul came to believe that God has used the sin of each to show mercy toward all. He then writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice." In other words, offer up, let go of, lose your life as you have plotted it. Then, sounding for all the world like the Nashville Statement, he writes, "Do not be conformed to the world." Paul means by that, give up the stories the world is telling you about the other you have defined yourself over and against for Christ's sake. Quit the stories religion is telling you about who you are, about your own better or moral self, and be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, which is to say, what is love. What then follows are not 30 ways to be nice, but admonitions pointing to the shape faith assumes in a community transformed by the incarnation of God's self-emptying love in Jesus Christ. The love that is love, that is love, that is love, that is love. Paul's admonitions are describing what this love looks like in a community of faith. I think Angelia Griffin was doing the same when she wrote this week from Houston. "There is not much in the world I can truly say I hate, but I hate Harvey. Harvey has taken so much away from so many. Homes, lives, hopes, jobs, all washed into the Gulf of Mexico by his relentless anger. Yet in the deluge, Harvey has also washed away something else. Hatred. The only color in Houston today is red, white, and blue. The only religion in our streets is love. There is no race, no creed, no gender, no socioeconomic classes, no nationality, no sexual orientation, no religion. There are only people helping people. There are only strangers opening the door to strangers. There are only men and women risking their precious lives for other precious lives. devastating disaster into love. You don't need to wait until your neighbors are drowning to reach across the color, religious, nationality, political boundaries. This world, she says, is suffering from a different kind of storm, one far more dangerous than Harvey, a storm of hatred. Let's refuse to let it break us. Paul could not have said it better. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. The power to will what God wills, when it concludes, is the power to be and stay human. To be true